G'day everybody and welcome back to the Hardball Gets AFL show. This podcast is brought to you by the brand new Mazda BT50, the complete package. Today on the show, it's the Loose Ballers with Dil Buckley and Xavier Ellis. If you haven't subscribed to the show, please do that and leave us a nice rating there while you're at it. Nice little review would be very lovely. All right, get stuck in. The Hardball Gets AFL show. My name's Nick Rind, Dil Buckley and Xavier Ellis on the Loose Ballers. What's going on, gents?
Hello, gentlemen. This is fantastic to be here. Very fantastic to be here, might I just add. It's great to see you two. And you're looking good as always.
Hey, I was a bit slow to chat then because literally just before we turned these mics on, Dil was like, "Oh yeah, mate, we took the piss out of you on RSN this morning." So thanks, mate. You've thrown me off already, but you did just say that you've got a very exciting guest coming on your podcast in the next couple of days or weeks or whatever. So I'm looking forward to catching that one. But I've been dodging bullets all week over here, Nick, with the West Coast stuff.
For some reason,
people feel as though they DM me and abuse me.
You're the traitor.
Mate, it's like I'm sitting at full forward.
Yeah.
Like I would have had 20 messages after the weekend, not abusing me, but like, what the fuck's going on? I'm like, mate, how would I know? I'm just a bloke in the commentary box earning a crust to feed the family. Not kidding you, goals.
You're damned if you do, Zave, and you're damned if you don't. Obviously, being a former Eagles great, if you say anything positive about them, they're saying that you're sucking up to your told teammates, you're too friendly, and then if you go hard on them, you're going too hard on them. So you're never going to win that battle, and I think it's a very tough one.
No, you're never going to win it, and at the moment I'm better just to avoid it because they're going no good.
Just to take a step back, they're going no good at all. It's a weird environment over here when the Eagles are going no good, isn't it?
I've never been in the environment where they're going no good.
Everybody sort of turns on everyone and gets real ugly real quick.
I've spoken to a couple where they go, Jesus, they can turn quickly.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of the players, 3 weeks ago, they were getting their asses slapped walking down the street and high-fived.
Yeah.
And now it's like, we're going to spit on him. What's that? Is it Game of Thrones where they walk through
the shame. They're shame.
Yeah. Shame. Yeah, that's what it is. Like they're down in Lathlane walking through, there's a cafe down there.
Just Laker?
They're at Laker Cafe just getting shame. Anyway, they'll turn around. I've got a new theory, Dil.
They're going to ask to go back to the bubble.
Yeah. Well, not good things happening in the bubble for them either. Hey, Dil, I've got a theory right now. I don't want to have a go at Carlton, but they've been pretty shit for a while. Good, bad.
That is fair.
Do you reckon for supporters it's fair to be off them for 24 hours and you'd be right off them for 24 hours, but after 24 hours you've got to circle back around and then be supportive again?
Well, I think that's a good point. I think that that's exactly what you need to do. It's like you don't want to make these emotional decisions, and sometimes it's good to vent because you get it all out rather than, you know, trying to reason with the disappointment and then it hitting midweek and you're still not over it. So I don't mind the venting from supporters at all, but I still think you don't need to be sliding into players' DMs, DMing them and stuff. Like they are honestly trying their hardest, and they're not going out there to just take the piss as much as sometimes you might think that. They are doing everything they can, but yeah, it's a really interesting one, mate. It's so hard with Carlton that, you know, we could have a podcast in itself. I honestly do feel sometimes like the teams that are struggling the most are actually working the hardest, and that's why they are where they are. It's all about winning and getting that momentum. And for Carlton at the moment, you know, they're doing actually everything right. I feel like their culture's in a good place. They're doing the 1%ers, but the wins just aren't coming yet. So they're not getting that reward for effort, which then can be a demotivator again because they question, are we doing the right thing? But they actually are.
Mm.
And Max Gorn summed it up last week. I had a chat with him on my podcast, and he said, what comes first, the culture or results? It's got to be a mix of both. It's so hard to you know, make these decisions off when you're not winning footy, because how do you know if you're not doing the things right?
What's the harshest thing? Can you remember a supporter ever saying anything to you? Can you remember anything
To be honest, like I was never really, and I think some players look at this as a positive that player, like people didn't get into them, but I just don't think I was ever really in the team enough. But one thing I always had was effort. So like, I don't think anyone ever questioned me of my effort.
You did not stop running fast for four quarters.
No. I did not stop running with the ball as fast as I can and spraying it out in the full. Like that was what I was trying to do. You know, I was still trying my absolute hardest. But I think that's, as a supporter now of just footy in general and everyone, the one thing that you can't defend is when players don't give effort. And that's something that it has to be there.
Yeah, no, I agree. I remember I just got told one night out at a bar, you are really shit. Well, it's fair.
Thanks, Dad.
Dad. Geez, he used to go to the footy every week when we were in Melbourne, and then when we were in Perth, he'd fly over a fair bit. I reckon he'd watch a quarter and then go to the bar. And that was it. Not for any other reason than he just got nervous.
Oh, really?
Yeah, nervous for West Coast or nervous for Hawthorn, like the team in general. So he'd just go to the bar, have a feel, and then come, like, watch it on TV and be distracted by the things. But he'd never sit there for the whole game. It was crazy. Yeah, right. And he'd come back pretty skinned a few times as well, because we used to have a house about 50 metres from the G. So it was no need to stay in a .05. It was just fill in and get home.
So as we sit down to the pod where there's border stuff and there's COVID cases across the country again, was it 7 in Victoria?
Yeah.
MCG and exposure site.
And Geelong.
Geelong played
the team.
Yeah, they've specified a section at the MCG, so I don't think it's going to be an issue.
Level 2 MCC, so the game will still go on here. But in terms of it being a normal game, it can't possibly be.
Well, they'll do it like they did last year, I think, where it's like the on-field stuff is a bubble, and it might be that Freo have to quarantine after playing them.
You reckon?
They haven't sort of laid out what's what yet, but I feel like that might be. Although the most recent example was who came over to play West Coast, and they didn't have to quarantine.
Bullies?
The Bullies, yeah.
But it was still a dirty game.
Yeah, it was still a dirty game.
So no one was allowed on the field.
So I think it's going to be a dirty game.
You reckon?
You can have people in the stands, but it's still going to be a dirty.
So I'm working deal tomorrow night for 7. I'm interviewing. This was my night pre-game. Interview Fifey 2 hours before the game. Interview Hawkins 1 hour and 45 minutes before the game. Interview Chris Scott in the pre-game. Interview Dave Mundy running through the banner, and then talk about the Purple Haze Starlight game that Freo do every year for Millie Lucas. And then if it's a dirty game,
can't do any of that.
I don't do any of it. I've never met Fife. Have you ever met Fife, Dill?
You never met Fife? I've met him once. Yeah, I met him once. We're mates. You can say that. You could say we're mates. We've met each other. But no, I have met him once. He's a big boy. You've met him.
Yeah, are you going to be nervous? I
find him so hot. and let's be honest, and I've said he's the best player in the league for 5 years running, probably.
Yeah.
Shit, this is dangerous. I'm going to freeze. And actually, talking about freezing, Lee Spur, Spurry over here, does some waffle stuff with me. Anyway, we always take the piss out of him because he gets all the names wrong, or he'll introduce a player and he goes, "Oi, Curly," or "Oi." Yeah, it's a bit rough. It's a bit rough and cut around the edges. And he's a lawyer. He's a lawyer, so he's a smart guy. Anyway, we've got an unwritten rule that I don't do on-ground presentations because that's just not me.
Yeah.
And so Spurry, credit to him, straight just goes in there and has a go. Anyway, he did the Waffle W Grand Final on the weekend.
Did you see this?
Done the Waffle W Grand Final. The second player he read out.
Didn't play.
Wasn't even a player. And then, like, the fourth player, her name was Alan, and he was calling her Louise or something.
That was there's the best young female footballer in the country, Ella Roberts. He got her name wrong.
Got that wrong too. Anyway, in fairness to him.
Did someone stitch him up there?
Stitch up. They gave him the wrong sheet. So, Spurry as it is, you're a dollar tender to be a cock up anyway. But it wasn't his fault. And one of the parents apparently came over to him and said, "Oh, you got her name wrong." And he's like, "Well, this is what I was handed." So anyway.
It was good halfway through when Mark Redding's up in the box started chipping in after he'd read a name. She also didn't play.
Oh, no, did it really? Oh,
yeah, a couple of times.
Oh, mate, poor old Spurry. Because he's involved. He's on the board at the Starlight Foundation. So that's why I spoke to him and heard that story. But, hey, a little loose one. If you do want to give to the Starlight Foundation, Purple Haze, it is a ripping one. Millie Lucas lost her life with cancer. So that is tomorrow night. If you're free, or a supporter in general, keep your eye out for that on the screen tomorrow.
Mm. What was it? Oh, yes, no, we were just talking about like the
COVID. Yeah.
I'll say. So it's 7 at the end. So Gillon McLachlan today said that at the moment everything's sort of going ahead as planned. Just as we sat down, there was a case pop up out of quarantine in South Australia.
Yeah, South Australia. Right? I'm just going to get that up whilst you keep talking.
Yeah, I don't think, like, they're going to play out the rest of the season. They'll just.
Oh, absolutely.
Figure it out. Like, there's not. Yeah.
Yeah, so this an hour ago, Justin, South Australia is urgently investigating whether a new case of COVID-19 is a result of another quarantine leak. Hotel quarantine leak. So they're popping up everywhere. You can see our bloke Dill. He just shuts up shop. No one in, no one out.
Honestly, I don't want to get political on this show. First, I don't even know what I'm talking about, so I'm not going to. But you know what? I'm going to say something.
Go on, Dill.
We're kidding ourselves. We are actually an embarrassment, like, compared to every other country out there. Like, we need to get better, like, more vaccinations obviously through. But this is going to be around for years to come. And yeah. if you think that each time a flare-up comes in each state that we can just lock the borders, everyone go work from home, businesses will suffer, it's a joke. We've got to learn to live with this. It's happening too much. And I just don't know how we're going to start it. Like, what's happening here?
Well, it starts with getting people vaccinated, doesn't it?
Yeah. Have you had yours?
No, I can't get in.
Have you had a jab deal? You're not eligible yet.
I can't
get
in yet either. No, yeah. Not yet.
Sam, you definitely wouldn't be eligible. You're 19. Actually, poor old Sam the other night, pissing rain at the footy, he's trying to get into the media area, didn't have access.
Oh, what? Glad that got sorted out.
Bit awkward. No, anyway, I did notice you were up there very early. The bloody accreditation got it wrong.
Oh, right.
Yeah, no, all good. No, I agree with your deal. Well, you got to plough on at some stage, and you're right, get your arm out and get done.
Did like, yeah. Yeah, do you have to laugh at those, like the ads about getting vaccinated? It's like doom and gloom if you don't. It's like, I can't. You don't even know. I'm trying. I would do it now.
I've noticed the TV commercials.
Hey, your ad's scary. It's working, but I actually can't do it at the moment.
That's right. They should actually just have commercials of like boats and shit and planes coming over with like empty cargo. Because there ain't anything for us to have.
I did like someone, posted a screenshot of that ad. It was like... voiceover, you stupid idiot. You should have turned 40 earlier.
So true.
So beyond all that, we don't exactly know what's going on. We should
be WA's just changed their border 12 minutes ago. Yeah, all arrivals WA Victoria are required to quarantine for 14 days.
Geelong get tested. Geelong, I think, we're going to be met by police at the airport. They got tested. I imagine it's just going to be another little sort of bubble dirty game situation.
Yeah.
Get them out as soon as you can and then figure out next week after that.
Yeah.
But it's already been... Sydney and GWS, but forget that they're locked out of their home state. And,
did you hear about trying to get their families down?
Well, has it become a problem?
Well, they were saying that luckily there's not a lot that are married with kids or whatever, and partners with kids for either side. But still, it doesn't matter if there's one that's still 8 weeks or 10 weeks away from there. It's too many. Anyway, they tried to fly them up to Queensland, do a stint in Queensland, do the 14 days in Queensland and then come down. Anyway, where they were booking to go, all getting ready to go, the NRL had sent snipped them.
Oh, they sent all the teams there, didn't
they? The NRL stole the booking and said, see you later. So God knows what's happening with it. You would have, Dil, you got mates there. How are they going, the GWS? Guys, I'd be pretty flat being sent to Ballarat to play. Nothing against Ballarat, but if tonight.
Yeah, twice. Why are they going twice?
Give them a fair go. Put them on the MCG. But how are they coping?
Especially for the Battle of the Bridge that will be happening this weekend. Not
they
sure
wear those
Ballarat
sick
Bridge,
jumpers.
But exactly. But it's been pretty crazy for them, mate. Like they left on nearly, 3 hours notice to Melbourne, thought they'd be for 2 weeks, and now it's looking like they're going to probably play the season outside of Sydney for the rest of the year. And who knows if they're going to be staying in Melbourne now, but I'm pretty sure that their partners were getting flown down as well to Melbourne.
Yeah, they're going to do a double header.
I really don't know what's going to happen now with Melbourne's situation. As I said, it's an absolute debacle.
Who's got kids there, mate?
Gil McLaughlin at the moment. That's probably the one lucky thing, mate, that there isn't a lot of the older boys there. You've obviously got Shane Mumford, Daniel Lloyd.
There's Filthy Phil or Callum Ward or anyone like that?
No. Ward's got a young kid, Romeo. To be honest, bro, there's not much. Sam Reed's also got a young one. Mainly just a really young families and young lads.
So Callum Ward's kids.
On the family front.
Callum Ward's kid's name is Romeo.
Romeo Ward.
Oh, man. Because Cal Ward's a good looker too.
Yeah.
Imagine having the name Romeo and being good looking.
Just having piercing eyes.
Oh, man. They'd have that hair too.
Yeah. Lucky Shane Mumford took his oldest down already with him, didn't he? Young Jesse.
What, upon exiting?
Jesse Hogan.
Oh, Jesse Hogan. Yeah. He's playing out the back. Did he play on the weekend?
He did, actually. Yeah. You're right.
He was back.
Well, actually, so getting into a bit of footy now, as we all came around, we don't really know what's going on.
No one knows what's going on.
We don't know.
No.
But the footy's going to be played regardless.
That's right.
To get the season out. All Australian fullback, you raise this as a point.
Yeah, I don't know who it is, Dil. I know that you'll probably put Wietering forward, I'd imagine. All Australian fullback.
Was he centre-half? Back?
No, he plays fullback, so he had Hawkins on the weekends. No, he's definitely more of a fullback, and Liam Jones. Mm. Oh, they sort of rotate, I suppose. But who do you think will take the fullback All-Australian jersey? Have you got one in mind, Nick?
Well, it's between Wietering and May.
Well, what about Harris Andrew? Harris, it's like that position, it's like the ruck. Once you're in, it's hard to get out.
Yeah, but I had...
No one's dominated this year, have they?
No.
There's not been one total standard. I would say Stephen May is in front, but our boy that gets a lot of airtime on this show, I can tell you now, will be holding that seat down in the future.
For
many years.
I know who you're talking about.
Sammy Taylor.
Oh, yes.
All right, here's one for you, Dill. I think we spoke about this in a different podcast. If the Bulldogs came to you and said, we'll give you Jamar.
No, we said this last week.
Was it ours? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah.
No, you wouldn't. You can't stick with Sammy.
Yeah, mate. Sam Taylor's a star. I love him. I think Steve May. I think Steve May is going to get his All-Australian, and so will Lever. I think it'll be a 1-2.
They'll both fit in there.
Yeah.
But is Lever goes like the centre half back then, or is he just on like a half back flank or something?
Right.
So who's the other one? Wiedering.
Who's been centre half back? Usually they're like an interceptor. Okay.
That's Lever.
Yeah. Who could it be? Freo.
It's not going to be Jeremy McGovern this year.
No, definitely won't be. Definitely won't be. I'm trying to think who's been good at. Oh, goodness.
Western Bulldogs don't have a huge.
No. Probably
is Harris Andrews.
From Geelong.
Mate, this is really weird, and he won't be. Lockie Henderson's been great, outstanding this year.
That's literally who I was thinking as well. But I don't think it will be either. But he would be the one, because realistically, when you look at these, you've got to think about the teams that are successful in this first. I think with all Australians,
you get the jump, don't you?
The fairest way to do it. Yeah, you definitely get the jump. But you look at those top teams like Western Bulldogs. Who's been their main key defender? I can't even think. Is it Keith?
It'd be Keith. Yeah. And Gardner did his shoulder.
Yeah, see, they don't really have one that's in that mix.
No.
I reckon I would even get a call up for the All-Australian if I was still playing this year.
Yeah, centre half back.
Dill, did you watch the Geelong? Did you watch the Geelong-Carlton game?
Sorry, just on that. I reckon Dustin Martin will line up a fullback just to get him in.
Yeah.
that's a possibility.
Mate, if he's in this year, I'll swallow a glass.
He's going to make the interchange bench, I reckon.
It couldn't.
They'll just get him in, mate.
Couldn't.
You got to wonder sometimes. Like, this is what Lockie Henderson would suffer from too, I reckon. Like, had a ripper year.
Yeah.
Probably on the face of it, like in the 3-4 best key defenders.
Yeah.
But he'll get tabled at the meeting and they'll be like, Lockie Henderson
yeah.
from Geelong.
Yeah, no, like, 100%.
And you have to go back and watch him. Oh, yeah, he's been all right. Like, yeah. He's suffered
He's been really good. Dill, did you watch the Carlton game against them?
I did. I was in spurts, but it was in a great game to watch.
The only reason, Lockie Henderson played well, but the way he stood out was because Carlton supporters booed him every time he got the ball. And there was a lot of booing early.
Zach Tuohy copped it,
and he was outstanding as well. So a couple of good ones to let go there by the Blue Baggers, but bad kicking, Dill. Bad kicking, mate, the Carlton boys.
Yeah, it's not good, is it? And as we said, like, I think we're talking about it last week, but last week I think in AFL was the worst statistically for goals in the modern era for goal kicking. So like whether it's set shot or on the run, it was statistically the worst. That just comes back to exactly that. Like there's no routines realistically anymore. It's funny, isn't it? Like the one thing that wins games, wins finals and wins grand finals especially, is kicking straight.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't get practiced a lot.
Nowhere near enough. Like they don't do the goal kicking as much as they do mindfulness. Yeah. Which both are important, obviously, really important.
True.
But goal kicking probably a little bit more so.
Well, but they do more swimming than goal kicking.
Yeah.
They spend more time in a pool than kicking goals.
So that's where Josh Kennedy practices. Is it on his own time? He does a lot. Or does he not do any more than others?
Yeah, like the key forwards from every team, like the big boys, would always kick a lot of goals after training. And I'm assuming that's the same with Uzay. But it's probably those other ones, like the higher half forwards that rotate through the midfield or the midfielders, that are the ones that are actually missing the opportunities because they're probably not as well.
It's funny though. What's a lot? Like golfers would hit, how many balls would a golfer hit at a driving range?
Yeah, I don't know. Thousand.
Thousands. But they kick 30 balls, 50 balls. Mm. Like, it's not many. Even the ones that do practice, it's not a lot. The sports science come out and say, oh, we might just grab you, mate.
Well, then
that's what I mean, Zave, isn't it? Like, if you're having those shots post-session after a big week and you're travelling and you're doing 100 shots, sometimes the sports scientists do come out and actually grab these players off the field.
Yeah, that'll do, mate. You're allowed 10 shots.
Yeah, I didn't know if that was an urban legend.
Goal kicking today, no goal kicking.
You have to go do it in secret.
Well, no one just does
it's
it.
It's like having a darter in the back of the sheds. You're just kicking out goals.
How old were you when you had your first cigarette?
Oh, I was probably, passive smoke inhalation, probably very young. My old man put him away.
Oh, so you're a smoker, was he?
Yeah, so that's why I didn't really like, I don't think it was, I was very drunk and I was probably 18.
At Waverley, I remember back in the day, Dylan, I'm a bit older than you, the smoking could still happen outside the venues.
Oh, really?
So at quarter time, all the smokers would duck off anyway, but they'd leave their cigarettes on their records next to them at Waverley Park, like sitting between them. Anyway, we got a wandering ham one day and stole a pack of ciggies from the person sitting in front and then ducked off, went to the toilets and smoked one. And that was the exact time the quit smoking ad came out. You know, the really aggressive quit smoking ad.
Yeah.
I thought I was cast. My one puff, I was like, mate, I'm done. It's me. I made the decision at Waverley on the Auskick tour to have a dart and now I'm done.
That was funny. That was one of our Good Chat episodes earlier in the season with Phil Matera.
Yes.
That was great with Chris Robinson, where he said, like, I don't know how, we would smoke darts the whole way through our careers.
Yeah.
Like, all the Matera.
I forgot Phil Matera didn't play again after the losing grand final in 2005.
Yeah.
Done.
Did he not play another game after that?
No, I don't think so. I think he retired.
Right. Another one from the weekend. So Collingwood's come back against Richmond.
Brody
Grundy, huge in the ruck. Taylor Adams.
Rucked
the
against
other one.
Nobody.
He's
very good. But a deal. So I had a text on a podcast the other week. We said, where does Elliot Yeo sit in the scheme of things?
Mm.
Hit us up on socials. What sort of group does Elliot Yeo sit in? Because not this year as such, because he hasn't been good, but I thought he was always a top ender. Anyway, someone wrote back saying, nah, he's pumping up Taylor Adams. Was like, him and Taylor Adams are in the exact same category. And I was like, Taylor Adams?
Yeah, well, you go back and look at it.
And then you go back and look at Taylor Adams. He is underrated, especially over here. We don't hear about Taylor Adams. He's their number one midfielder now, and he's in the top 12 or 15 midfielders in the competition.
Rare beast, the underrated Collingwood midfielder.
I think they've given up. They forgot they haven't traded him. They're like, shit, who's this guy? He's pretty good.
Well, that was the 2018 grand final. He was probably their best.
Yeah, he's
done that a few times. Sort of his level, isn't it?
Yeah, is there much talk about Taylor Adams over there? There would be a stack, wouldn't there?
Sorry, I'm just still a little bit shocked about you guys saying that a Victorian player is underrated. I don't know what to say.
If
he played in Perth, he would be big.
No, let's not joke about that.
I ran into Dave Bundy at the footy on Monday night and he was like, oh, how you going, mate? He goes, oh, I'm still pissed at Dil Buckley. He's like, just playing down my 349 game career.
Oh, God, stop bringing that up. No, you're right. With Taylor Adams, to be honest, I don't really think he is as highly rated as he deserves in Melbourne either. There's so many players down here, as you know, and it is very strange to say that a Collingwood player that potentially will be their next captain, who's actually put their hand up to say they want to be captain, is somewhat underrated, for sure.
How did you vote for captain at Carlton and GWS? What was the voting system?
It's a very good question. The one at Carlton was via so they would put their name obviously submit their name, and then from there you just give like a 3-2-1. But I do remember early in my career how they did it was like they'd have to put their name up and do their pitch, and like players would get up and say like, this is why I want to be like in the leadership group, this is why I want to be captain sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then from there you'd have to vote. And the same thing at the Giants was they'd do a bit of a chat beforehand and then you'd vote after, but it was you weren't allowed to vote until I think you were over 21 years of age or had been there for like 3 years.
Yeah, right. So you can
vote in a federal election, but you can't vote on the leadership group at Carlton.
I didn't mind it, though. I didn't mind that.
That was a Giant. That was a Giant.
No, but that's also, say, first-year player comes in and they see, I don't know, who's your best player. I'll just pick Josh Kelly, for example.
Mm.
Oh, shit, yeah. Josh Kelly has to be, and I don't know if he's a leader or not. He probably certainly is. But oh, bloody oath, Josh Kelly, 5 votes.
Did you ever cop any campaign trail stuff? Like anyone bail you up beforehand?
No, they all campaign.
My vision.
Mate, sure he had a barbecue with rookies before his election. But we used to have to.
That's the exact point. They don't let the young players vote. It's normally in the first week of their club.
You can buy them.
They just pick whoever's nice to them in that first week and 100%. Get their vote and then never speak to them again.
100%. So Shannon Hearn, love Bung. He had a pretty tight group of mates, him and Matt Prittis. That was about the extent of it. Bung is having festivals at his house and bloody
everyone's coming on the boat.
Mate, we used to have to stand up the front and read out who we voted for. 5-4-3-2-1. Really? So you do it and Sam Mitchell, Luke Hodge, da da da, Jordan Lewis, Jared Ruffhead. Pretty sort of stock standard stuff. But it was always funny when like a Jordan Lewis, because he was never going to be captain over in prime time when Hodgie and Mitch were. But Louis would give himself for five votes. Five votes, Jordan Lewis. I used to love it. Like, just the balls to, and he was like, I want to be in it. I think I can be the best captain. Like, I love that confidence. Whereas I'd sit there going, I'd just rattle off the same five. The only time I went a little bit left to centre was I put Campbell Brown in there. And at the end, they added up the votes. I was the only one that voted for Brownie. But yeah, no, that was awkward.
Did you hear about the Clive Waterhouse barbecue?
Nah.
Famous one at Frio, where he got everyone, like all these young boys around. I think it was their first year. Pretty sure it was Clive Waterhouse. I think it was Clive Waterhouse. Got them all around for a barbecue. They all got drafted. He said, look, everyone, boys, come around my place. Have a bit of an introduction.
Oh, I think I know where you're going.
Chat snags on the barbie. Put on this big spread.
Yeah.
And as they all get up to leave, he goes, all right, so I think that works out about 15 bucks each.
Yes, I do remember that.
The money on the table.
God, that's great.
Yeah, no, I remember that. The old first time barbecue, Sam Mitchell, I went to grab a can of Coke at the barbecue at Clarko's on draft day. Mitchell's like, we don't drink soft drink. I was like, fuck, right. Okay. Shay, what do we drink? I'll get a beer then.
No, I'll get this for someone else.
I remember it. And he said he'd rather me have a beer than have a drink of Coke.
What, is it sugar?
Yeah, most, we didn't drink it ever. Like ever. Never. Coke Zero would be seen occasionally, but never a soft drink. Yeah.
It's not like, you know, some of those coaches, Ken Hinckley, looks like he puts away like eight Coke Zeros.
Well, he spoke about it
every game.
Jay Clark was speaking on Triple M the other day and said, I want to talk to you, to Charlie Dixon. I want to talk about your coach's Coke addiction. He's like, what are you talking about?
So West Coast, we touched on it earlier, not going very well.
Nah, going hopeless. Are they getting any treatment over East, Dill?
Not really at this stage. With everything happening, it's a fairly big, but again, it's what happens over there, boys, with West Coast at the moment. Like, I can imagine it'd be pretty hectic, everything happening. Like, they, again, I say this every week, were my flag tip. I still think they've got the list and game plan and coach to do it. But has there been any like reasoning besides the injury factor of why it hasn't clicked for them?
Not really. I think that they've stuck pretty fat with their game plan that was successful. Mm. And last year, COVID year, I think they put a line through it a little bit, shorter quarters, injuries to key players like this year. So they reloaded the gun on the game plan, being what it was from 18. And it just, the game's evolved a little bit, I reckon, and I think in preseason this year, Simo will adapt to a little bit more of what the Demons are doing or the Bulldogs or whatever. But look, they need to make a couple of tweaks to the game plan. But I said yesterday, I think it was, you'd consider the blokes that are really sore and bung up to say, righto, your holiday starts now and you are going, because I reckon they've got one more swing at it. They've got one more swing at a premiership.
Well, they're still their best 10 still.
Yeah, and I reckon
players, even though they're getting older.
Yeah, and I reckon you go, yeah, if you've got, you know, Gov's knee sore or whatever, you've got 6 weeks off now, you're coming back 6 weeks early, and you're going to lose, you're going to have a six-pack by the, like, it is going to be the hardest, Luke Shuey, hamstrings, you're going to have a spell for 6 weeks now, your holiday's now, and your 6 weeks time. And if they make the finals, great, you don't want to throw it. But it also gives the kids who maybe aren't the level because they haven't had the draft, access to the draft, six games. So then come pre-season time, they go, well, hang on, I played 10 games last year all up. Like, I'm half a chance to play. Like, they can't do any damage.
Are they being reactive with decisions over there? Like, I actually feel like they're not. I feel like they're smarter than that West Coast, and they know that, you know, Simo is a great coach, but I'd hate to see pressure building on him because I do really think he is the right man for the job. But is it, are they turning on each other, or is it pretty, do you feel like it's quite a strong place at the moment?
I think internally they don't react a lot to anything.
Nah.
West Coast. They just go about their business.
There's a couple of times you as a journal, whatever you were saying a couple of weeks ago, you'd ring him for something, like, well, there'd be a story and they'd go, yeah, cool. Like,
yeah,
whatever.
Well, no, I think that's their general approach, like the mask thing where they weren't wearing their mask. Like, the basic reaction was we were wearing them.
Yeah, cool. Like, yeah.
Good on you, see ya.
Nah, they won't flinch. And like,
that's right. I love that.
Yeah. Like, what do you want us to do?
Yeah.
We weren't wearing them. But Adam Simpson, for example, so of coaches that have coached 100 games, he sits eighth in all time.
Win-loss.
So there's,
he's that's great. And that's why he is the right man for the job. Like, I reckon he's actually one of the best coaches.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so miffed at what's actually happening this year.
They need a tweak. They need a little bit less around the boundary. Mm. Love to see some more handball receives off marks. And just, I was talking to someone before and I said, do you know what would be fun? If you guys just did not have a game plan for the first quarter and just kicked it through just the corridor, just made it up. Because before you know it, you've had a quarter of football, you've had the hands on your on the ball because you're making it up. There's no pattern of play, there's no rhythm. And if you get scored against, whatever. at least you might have a bit of, you know, drop the restrictions around game style and just let them play.
Might spark a few ideas.
You know, you give it a yo-yo under the pump, yeah, shit, I don't want it. And before you know it, he's broken a tackle and he flicks it over to Shuey and Shuey flicks it to Kelly and, well, you know, who knows.
Their defense isn't what it was, right? I was thinking this watching the other night. Like, it used to be, if you put a ball into West Coast back 50 that was even, like, relatively high at any air under it, someone, McGovern was going to grab it or Barras was going to grab it. Someone was going to grab it and it was going to go back the other way.
Yeah.
Like, you had to be real picky and choosy about how you went into your forward 50.
Absolutely.
With those guys roaming around. Doesn't matter anymore.
That's
Gov being off, everybody being off 5%.
Yeah, and I think that you try and do more than you can do.
Yeah.
When you try, like, so Gov's trying to, you know, read the play better than he can read the play because it's like, gee whiz, I need to stop this. Or, Josh Kennedy's like, gee, I need to kick goal really quickly here to get us going again. Or, you're trying harder and in the end you're going worse.
Yeah, and they don't have that. Those real aggressive kicks coming out of defence either, which was what sort of set them up in 2018.
Just had a missed call on my phone. I meant to be at the dentist. Ah, bugger.
It is 2:30, isn't it?
Not bad, Dil.
So you're talking about seeing Fife, his game of the weekend. You think that's it? Like, that was his best game of
the year. Best game I've seen in a while, Fife. 200 games too, like, what a star. But they need, and Sarong and those guys lifted and played bigger and stronger and had 30, and Brayshaw had 30, Fife had 30, Mundy had 30. And don't get me wrong, they're playing against the Mighty Hawks, who are statues at the moment. But I just think that the creativity that they put around Cripper, Fife, Danger, that's exactly the reason why Fife plays midfield.
Yeah.
Like, he took the foot off the gas late or whatever, but or tired or whatever.
Went forward and grabbed a couple.
But game over. When he was on early, he in 200th, and I don't know how you get yourself up for milestone games. Mm. Like, how do you have an extra gear in your bloody gearbox to go to when you're a star? But, yeah, I just think that's the perfect example is for Fremantle to be better, he needs to be playing just midfield. Get those numbers up again. He should be a 30-plus player, not a load of mid-20s, I reckon, because as we've said 1,000 times, I think he's the best player in the comp, not this year, but when he plays like he played with 30 touches, he's the best player in the comp.
He certainly looked good. Like, a couple of things he did with things that you haven't seen in a little while. Like,
yeah, I haven't seen it.
He was in space and just doing one-on-ones and just destroying blokes.
But, like, when people try and grab him and he just wags his ass.
Yeah.
And people go flying off it.
Yeah,
like,
there was a lot of that happening.
There was stuff we haven't seen for a while, and that's – and again, it was Hawthorn, and they're not going great.
Did you like his positioning? Yeah, he's doing that split role. I think he agrees with you that he should play midfield. In the lead-up, when they asked him about his split, and he just said, well, I'm not a very good forward.
Yeah, mate, they're not, though. None of them are.
Yeah, like, play him in the mid.
Paddy Dangerfield ruined it for everyone when he kicked 5 when he broke his leg against Hawthorn in his first game. And then they all go, oh, you're a good midfielder, but you should play forward and kick goals.
Do it in the grand final.
None of them kick forward. None of them kick goals.
Yeah.
Ever. I rest my case.
Case closed.
Yeah, case closed.
Is that about us? Well, gents, you got to get off to the dentist.
No, I'm done with the dentist. I'm just going to pay for my going now. Bugger.
You have to pay
for it. I had something this week, though, gents, that I actually was thinking. And it was in preparation because one of Zave's good's mate, I was having a chat with Jared Ruffhead this week. And I thought back to his career. And this is off the cuff here when I was just thinking this. But Jared Ruffhead, Buddy Franklin, and this was in It's Time for a Beer podcast. So I was talking about at 21 years of age in 2008, Buddy Franklin kicks 113 goals, 50, and Ruffhead kicks 75 goals, 30 or 40 or something like that. At 21 years of age, they've got nearly over 300 shots on goal. I feel like since then there'd been like such a little bit of a stagnant of big, tall, dominant talls coming through until now.
I'm loving seeing
all these young guys coming through, like Max and Ben King, Harry Mackay, Charlie Kerno makes his game, his debut back this weekend for the VFL, which will be huge. Harry Jones, I'm a massive fan of, at Essendon. And then, you know, Norton, who's an absolute star at the Doggies, Jamal Ugelhagen. It's actually awesome seeing these big boys coming back in. And I'm very excited for the next bit. But it also, on the contrary to that, made me realise how good Xavier, Buddy and Ruffhead were to be doing what they were at that age.
Mate, and for Ruffy, who you spoke to today, he did not get his share of passes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like 80% of footy was directed to Bud. You just saw this 6'6" guy with his arms out, like extended, and you'd go, oh shit, there it is. And you'd watch the behind the goal visions, and Clark would go, hey boys, like Jared Ruffhead's pretty good. He's in the goal square by himself, and you're passing it to Franklin. And so for even Ruffy, like Spud kicking 100-odd was spectacular, and the achievement obviously far outweighs what Ruff did. But Ruff did not get his fair share of footy, and to kick 80, they were a good 1-2 blow. But as you mentioned, the young forwards coming through, they're still trying to catch like Hawkins and that, who's 33 next week.
Mm. Yeah.
Like there's still the old boys running around, like Charlie Dixon's over 30, I reckon. Yeah.
Bud's meant to be finished.
Bud's meant to be finished. So like
35, whatever.
They've all, the young and the old, have found an extra gear or two. So it's good for
footy. Tex at the start of the year.
Texan. No. It's good footy. It's good fun.
You are right. I'm not sure. There's not a huge amount in this draft. There's Logan McDonald at Sydney as well, who's going to be a very good forward.
Yep. And Riley Thilthorpe as well from Adelaide.
Yeah. I don't think there's many in this draft.
I wouldn't know. Darcy.
Darcy's coming through. But I don't think there's three or four in WA, but they've also showed different levels of production. Hard to tell with no under-19.
Yeah, it is.
Footy so far.
That's why. Who was the player? Oh, Cyclone Tracy.
Oh yeah,
they got him in the rookie draft or whatever.
Yeah,
and you're like, well, no one's seen him play really.
Yeah,
yeah.
Now he's an 18-year-old. He's doing his job, bobbing up, kicking two a game.
It looks like he's well and truly could be in that top 15 of that draft easily.
Yeah, that is the interesting thing. I actually expected we'd see more of those this year, like blokes who were drafted last year without playing any footy for a year.
Yeah,
who popped up as like at pick 70. It's like, oh, he probably would have been a top 15 or whatever.
Yeah,
there hasn't actually been as many as I thought there'd be.
Nah.
There's a couple around. Tracy's the one that sticks out because he's under our noses over here.
And we loved him when he kicked 7 in the practice game at the Waffle, and then he didn't do a lot. And now he's showing like, gee, he's going
to
be good.
He took his time to ease into it, but then you realise that he's 18-year-old playing a key forward position, like in a AFL side.
Yeah. Just got another text message. My chat with Dave Mundy's off.
Oh.
Man, I love Dave Mundy.
Is that because of COVID? Or
is that
because
of hanging out with me? Or?
Yeah. COVID. Yeah. Do you reckon he's going to do a Choco Williams when he wins the Brownlow? Barkley. This is for you.
Fifey when he won it. I just want to thank Reece Conker. I just want to thank Dill Buckley. Yeah. Just mate, like one of the obscure ones. Oh, I love that he thanked a couple of players, Fifey. I loved it. Anyway, I'm out.
All right. This is Jack Jensen's going to have all gets AFL show with thanks to the brand new Mazda BT50, the complete package. We'll see you next time.